everybody. This is Mike Warshan, and today we're speaking to Xochi Castañeda, who was educated in Guatemala and Mexico.
I am the director of the Health Initiative of the Americas. That is a program of the University of California Office of the President.
We want to talk about some of the expectations required to create wealth, in this case, wealth along the U.S.-Mexican border. Infrastructure is telecommunications, infrastructure is education, and infrastructure is also health. And Xochi, can you talk a little bit about the state of health along the border today?
Migration is a phenomena that is mainly motivated for economic reasons, and reasons that begin in the countries of origin, but also there are some dependencies and codependencies, in this case, between Mexico and the United States. We cannot forget that the U.S. is the largest economic potency in the world, and that we are neighbors, and that the relationship sometimes is not very equitative.
Can you give an example of the inequality of health services between Mexico and the United States?
Well, I think Mexico is a country in which health is a universal right. And here, health is a service. And depending how much you have is the quality or the access you can have to the services. So, for example, if you are an undocumented low-income immigrant to the U.S. working in the basic industry, the access to health services and to health care is going to be really limited. In Mexico, every person, whoever is in Mexican territory, and that applies also for visitors, is entitled to access to services because it's a right in the Constitution. So we can talk about later about the quality of services, but Mexicans who come to this country come with a health capital that deteriorates after a certain time of being here without accessing the service.
What I've learned from reading your report was that 9 in 10 Mexicans in the United States who have relations in Mexico, or they're send the money there, and because of that, their medical attention is higher.
The last administration, the major health reform on health has been in a process, and they created what they call the popular health insurance. So progressively, this program is focusing in ensuring the low-income population so they do not suffer catastrophic expenditures because of purchasing health in a private manner.
Now the United States health industry, which is quite large, powerful, and stable, and knowledgeable, would probably want to get involved. One of the other interesting things I read from some of your works was the disparity in the cost of insurance when it's a service. And why is there such a disparity in cost?
Here in the United States, the majority of health services are private. And in Mexico, just 4% of the health insurance are private. The large provider of health services is the government. We come from a very different social system. There is a huge social investment in Mexico rather than here. It is like individual investment in the individuals. So the taxes in Mexico are used to purchase now with this kind of health insurance plan, but the purchase is done by the government.
Another thing I want to throw into the mix of this discussion is something else, a number that I've seen before, and then it was also in your study, that 35% of the U.S. population is under 25. And 60% of the Mexican population is under 25. And so there's a workforce that we in the United States are just going to need. We're going to need some numbers of people to do all sorts of services at that age group. And obviously the United States doesn't have just pure numbers of people to solve that. And so we're going to need, or I guess I'm asking a question, are we going to have a time in history that's coming soon where Mexican people in their 20s and maybe early 30s are going to be coming to the United States for services and coming back and forth? Is that what the plan is? Is that?
I think you have raised a fascinating issue. First of all, let me give you some context. The United States is a country that is so low dense populated. The number of people per square kilometer is around 34 persons, compared to the United Kingdom, for example, that is around 200, or even the European community as a whole, that is around 115. So if you compare those potencies, and we are not talking about China or India, which are going to be the major competitors for this country. So in order to continue the leadership in the economic global arena, the United States needs a workforce. And they are going, the United States is going to be suffering for a major demographic shift, because you are going to have around 70 to 80 million of baby boomers that are going to retire in this decade. And there is not the population that is going to replace them is not enough, the one that is U.S. born, to replace that workforce that is going to get inactive. And because it's inactive, they are not producing, but they are consuming. And the young people need to produce so they can have their retirement. And that will situate the United States in a dramatic situation if they do not replace that demographic, that vacuum that is going to be there once the baby boomer retire. And because the low density of this country, you need immigrants. Mexico has a demographic bonus, but that demographic bonus is ending because we have been subsidizing the United States with young and cheap labor force for the last two decades. So Mexico is also moving from their demographic bonus to a more kind of equal situation. So that 60% under 25 is going to be moving. And because the birth control in Mexico has been really, has made some fantastic results, Mexicans are not reproducing at the same level than they were two decades ago.
So, Xochitl, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. There's really going to be some negotiation that's going to have to take place between the Mexican government, the Mexican people, the United States people, and the government. And Canada is going to play a role, probably being border state issues that need to be resolved.
I think we have a wonderful historical opportunity to rethink the region and to really negotiate, maybe in a regional ways, better ways to collaborate among these three countries that have so much in common and already a huge movement of human beings and of products. So some regulations need to be put in place, but that are more humanized regulations. It's not just to build a fence or to stop or to criminalize a workforce that is so needed in this country.